Better and Longer with the Fitness Show, hosted by fitness expert, author, and TV personality, Fitz Kohler. She'll tell you why diets are dumb, supplements are snake oil, and the truth about how you can earn a lean, hard, pain-free, and athletic body. Now for our favorite bossy blonde, Fitz Kohler.
Hi team, I'm Fitz Kohler, your fitness expert from fitness.com, and welcome to the Fitness Show. Today, I've got a great show for anyone who dabbles in self-sabotage. That's right, you become your worst enemy, and you are the reason for your failures and your misery, because isn't that normally the case, is we're kind of screwing with ourselves, knowing we can make decisions and get things done, but something stands in our way. So I have a great guest. Well, these are the interesting credentials. Very interesting. She was a dancer for Prince. That's right. And we're going to get into that. She also appeared on Buffy the Vampire Slayer as an actress and Beverly Hills 90210 back in the day. She's beautiful. She's brilliant. And we're super excited to have her on the show. It's Robia Scott.
Hi. Thank you. You're so sweet for having me. Thank you for that nice intro. Appreciate that.
Of course. Of course. So we got to start with the Prince thing.
All right.
The most interesting nitty-gritty details nobody knows.
Oh my God, that's a good place to start. And it's so timely because I was on the cover of an album called Diamonds and Pearls, which was a huge hit for him.
Wow.
32 years ago. And literally they just re-released like all these new tracks. They pulled out things from Prince's famous vault where he had all these things hidden. And so it's been kind of a big deal in the last week or so news-wise, which is cool. So anyway, you know, I was just a professional dancer, got that call to go on a music video audition for Prince. Now this was back in the day where MTV was just like on the rise, right?
Okay. And they were actually talking about music.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, MTV, yeah, this was, they don't even play videos anymore. It's crazy. But this is when videos were coming out. Everyone had a video. So long story short, I got the call for the video, went and auditioned. He had saw me on tape, liked me, another girl who looked like me. He decided to, you know, have us be twins, even though we're not related. So we go in and we audition and we got it and wound up, you know, rehearsing with Prince. And it's just so wild. You know, there I am, 20 years old, like in a dance studio, stretching on the floor with this other girl. And all of a sudden, Prince walks into the room, you know? And I'm telling you, Fitz, it's almost like the lighting changes. A purple haze happens, like smoke starts wafting through the room. Obviously none of that happened, but it feels like that because he has such an aura, such an essence, you know? And within minutes we're dancing, we're entangled with each other and wrapped around, and Prince is just like rubbing me down. I'm like, what universe is this? And it was during, I think, that first rehearsal that he thought, I'm going to name this girl Diamond. He named me Pearl. We wound up doing all the videos from the album, doing a world tour, all this incredible stuff at 20, 21 years old. So it was just awesome. I spent a lot of time with him and it was an incredible experience.
And I hear he was very sweet. Is that true?
He was, actually. I have nothing but good things to say. He was very sweet, really fun, funny, really good to us. Yeah, it was good.
What was the most human thing about him? I mean, did he ever show up in gym shorts or did he burp or what? Give us some human traits on Prince.
Okay, you're so funny. You are completely tuning in because one of my favorite stories is he and I had a really cool little bantery relationship. And I was always a jeans and t-shirt kind of gal. Prince liked his women not really in jeans and t-shirts, right? He liked the hair and the thing and the stuff. And, you know, even if you're getting on a plane for 14 hours, he wanted you all princed out. And he was always princed out. So I would say to him, you know, Prince, when am I going to see you in the sweats? When am I going to see you in the t-shirt? And he would say, never. You are never going to see me in those things. And I was like, why not? Why not? So one night we had gone to a club or something. Lori, who was Diamond, and I were back at his house hanging out, and the cook's making us dinner and he's playing something on the piano and just like off his, you know, just off the top of his head, blowing us away with something genius. And he is in his full Prince outfit. You know, he's in the red jacket with the gold buttons and the red stirrup pants and the boots and, you know, the whole thing. So it's late. It's like midnight or 1 a.m. And he goes, you know, I'm going to just go upstairs and put on something a little more comfortable. And I think this is it. I've waited 2 years for this moment. It's finally going to happen. So he's gone upstairs, about 20 minutes pass, and all of a sudden, you know, you kind of feel him coming to the room, and he's up at the top of these stairs in his mansion. And we look up, and I look up at him. He's in the same exact outfit in blue.
What?
What? The same outfit. The jacket, the blazer, the shoulder pads, the gold buttons, the stirrup pants, the blue high heels. That was his, like, his casual version. So I have to say, I mean, that's Prince. Like, I never, ever saw him. Gosh, I know.
I know. Okay. And I have a, I know we're going to get into the self-sabotage thing, but I got to know too. He was a ladies' man. Did he ever ask you on a date? Did you ever have a smooch with Prince?
Well, we didn't, you know, we had flirty moments for sure.
Yeah.
But there were, honestly, there were like a lot of girls in the mix. You know, there was a lot going on.
Did you get one kiss? Did you get one inappropriate?
We actually did not kiss. Oh. Nope. But I might have been the only one. We were really friends and we flirted, but like that's when Maite came on the scene and he wound up marrying her, and then Carmen Electra was in the periphery. So you know, there were people coming in and out, ladies coming in and out. So I just wanted to keep it cool.
Okay. And then I'm gonna jump over to your Beverly Hills 90210 experience.
I did kiss Jason Priestley, but
you
it was
did?
Only yes, but on camera, not off camera. Wow. But it was still good on camera. I got
okay.
Tell you.
So good. When you're kissing him on camera, does it feel like you're having a great kiss, or did it feel technical?
You know, people always say with acting, oh, it's all just acting, it's all technical. And I mean, honestly, it is when you're doing it with someone that like you're not attracted to. But when there's a little chemistry and you're attracted, like, you know, you extend that kissing a little bit more maybe than it needs to be, whatever. So, you know, I thought he was really cute. We had some chemistry. I think he felt the same. So we just took advantage of like throwing the kissing in to scenes when it wasn't even there.
Very nice. You know, what's so funny is I never even think of this, but many moons ago I was in a movie, and I did make out with the star, and it was good. It was real good. It was a fabulous kissing scene where I actually felt like we were kissing, and yay for me, right?
And hello, that's why people fall in love when they make movies, because you know, you are with each other all day and you're doing these scenes and it can happen. So
mm-hmm. Okay.
So that was that.
So one day you can come on back on my show and we can just gossip. Can we do that?
Well, we'll just have girl talk of all the boys you've kissed.
Okay, because there's so much more I want to go into. But you're the beautiful dancer. You're on the cover of Prince's album. You are Pearl. And then you're smooching with Jason Priestley and having all this success. Yet you clearly don't feel as wonderful as you are because you're beating yourself up. You have an eating disorder and so forth. Tell us about that.
So this was the interesting part. So I'm definitely like the epitome of success. I'm in my early 20s. I'm traveling the world. I'm on television shows. I'm dancing with Prince in front of 60,000 people at a time on stage. It's like phenomenal. So I'm portraying this image, you know, especially in these Prince videos of like just like total confidence, total power, like being comfortable. But for sure, the image I was portraying was very different than where I was living on the inside. So I was just uncomfortable, you know, as a young girl. And I think all women, we get affected with body image issues. And especially when you're a dancer and an actress, it just exacerbates that situation. And so, you know, I was a chain smoker. I was just uncomfortable and really struggling with the body image issues. And it's interesting because people will look at me and say, oh, it doesn't look like, you know, you have body image issues. And I've never been overweight. I've always been thin. But, you know, it's really kind of where you were living on the inside. So for some people, you can see their body issues and food issues externally. And for some people, you can't see them. But that doesn't mean that they're not there. And it doesn't mean they're not just as bad. Right.
So I was a bulimic, and I know exactly why I was a bulimic. I was bullied by my big sister. I was told every day of my childhood, you're fat, you're fat, you're fat. And so I thought that, and I didn't have the tools to do fitness in the right way. Why were you beating yourself up? What was the impetus for that?
I think I was just really like uncomfortable. You know, I wanted to be thin, and it wasn't for me, maybe even so much about the thinness, I was just really, what I found out later. So I was super uncomfortable, right? And something in me really drove me to look for real success because I was like, I'm kind of successful, but I don't feel like I'm really successful because I was starving and binging and throwing up and, you know, just consumed with what am I going to eat? You know, a good day was eating like a bagel, like, oh, it was a great day. I only had 200 calories. Like this was the, where I was living, you know? So I've always been a seeker. I've always been someone who's like loves the truth, loves knowledge, loves, you know, personal growth, wants to be my best self, my highest potential. And I knew I wasn't living that at all. So even at a young age, I was like, something's not connecting here. So I just went on a deep dive. I went searching like for self-help. I searched in psychology. I searched in health and fitness. I searched in spiritual growth, like, because we are body, soul, and spirit. So I was like, let me look at it all, you know? And that's when it started to be clear to me. And I would say the first revelation, the first aha moment I had was that food was not really my issue. And I was like, that was really interesting because everything was so around food. And that's when I realized that the reason I was bulimic and the reason I was doing all of that is I was really using food as a comfort. And that it was really a counterfeit comfort. You know, it gives you like that imposter relief or release, but then it hooks you in this cycle. So I was like, well, what am I comforting? And that's when I started to go a little bit deeper. Like instead of looking at what I was doing, like, let me try to change my eating habits and let me try to find the right diet to keep me thin. Let me try to find the right exercise. I was like, let me like start to take a deeper dive. Like, why am I doing this? Like, what's driving this behavior? And that's when it just got real. You know, that's when I was realizing like, I'm just not comfortable. Like I haven't learned how to process feelings. Like we all go through traumas in our lives. We all go through things. And I just started putting the pieces together of like, you know, the feelings you're not dealing with are dealing with you, you know?
Yeah. So, well said.
Yeah. The feelings you're not dealing with are dealing with you. So you think you cannot deal with feelings. So you smoke them down and eat them down and drink them down and sex them down or do it, you know, right, whatever you want to do. But like eventually those things are going to drive. And so for me, it was really driving me to food, to try to, like, I didn't know how to process emotions. If I felt rejected or anything was going on in my life, like, you know, you get uncomfortable and you're just looking for comfort. You're looking for release. You're looking for relief. So that was the first piece of really having that shift for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those little revelations, right? Why am I doing this?
Why?
It's interesting, you know, out of the probably million people I've taught in some regard and guided through getting fit and eating wisely, most often to lose weight, because I would say most people would like to lose between 1 and 1,000 pounds. You know, yeah. But I give them the actual, like, here's the exact how to, here's the exact formula for weight loss, here's on a silver platter. And people who so desperately want to be a certain size, get it, understand it, say, okay, that makes sense. And quite often they'll utilize the plan and they'll lose 50 pounds or 100 pounds, whatever. And then one day they just decide, yeah, no, I'm going to go back and do the same stupid stuff I used to do all the time. And it's like, whoa, there's something else there. I sense a lot of people to counselors because yeah. Just like, I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a counselor. This is not what I do. I can talk fitness till I'm blue in the face, but right, there's a different person you need to talk to deal with your mental issues, because it would almost be like someone knowing exactly how to drive a car, blah, blah, blah. And then getting on the road and going backwards at 75 miles per hour on the highway. It's so harmful. It doesn't make any sense yet.
And that's the sabotage cycle. And that's what we get hooked into. It's like, what's the next diet? What's the next thing? I lose the weight. I gain back the weight. Like, why can't I stop those behaviors? Why can't I stop that emotional eating? Why do I have that sugar addiction? Right. And so we just try to will it. Like, I just need to stop the sugar and I'm just going to will it and white knuckle it. But it's like, you know, my whole thing is to get to the root. Like when we have a food problem, food really isn't the problem. It's right, a symptom of the problem.
Right. You're using food to make you happy or take away your sadness or whatever. So from your personal experience, how did you get past your addictions, your self-sabotage?
Right. well, now this is what I help others do. And I'm not, you know, we talked about this. I'm not like a counselor. I'm not, well, I am a counselor, but I'm not like a trained therapist. Yeah. I'm not, you know, a doctor, but my passion is emotional healing. That leads to wholeness, you know, looking great physically, feeling great emotionally, all of that package, you know, the whole body, soul, and spirit thing. So for me, it was just really starting to, I mean, I don't know if it's like, if I can give you, it's like a 1, 2, 3, but it was beginning to recognize that, you know, no one taught me how to even be present with myself. You know, I didn't learn at home really how to communicate, how to be tuned in, definitely didn't learn in school, right? Like who teaches us these techniques or these, no one really teaches us. So I had to really go self-taught. I had to read and I had to find ways to recognize, like, I would say the first thing is just starting to slow myself down and recognize like when I'm going to a counterfeit comfort, if I'm in like that binge mode, to try to just stop the knee-jerk reaction and just be like, where am I right now? Like temperature check, like what's even going on with me? And kind of tracking back, like, did something happen? Am I stressed about money? Did I have an audition that I feel like I sucked at? Or, you know, where, like, what was that emotional hook? That's the first thing. And I kind of equate it to, I always get these little funny things kind of drop into my head. I equate it to, do you remember Stop, Drop, and Roll?
Of course.
Yeah. Stop, Drop, and Roll.
When you're on fire.
When you're on fire, right? When you're on fire, like, what do? Do you just run crazy down the street? No, when the fire is raging, the way to put out the fire is you got to stop, drop, and roll. So I got that funny little metaphor of like, that's me when I'm on fire and I'm just like in that driven, bingy mode. It's like, stop, drop, you know, like I would literally do something that I called like on the floor therapy for myself, yeah. Where I would just lay on the floor. I'd be like, let me just stop my action just for a second. Let me just lay on the floor. I would like get on my back, lay on the floor and be like, let me just tune in. Like, where am I right now? What's going on with me? And then sometimes it would lead to like, you know, thinking about some things and connecting some dots. And maybe there'd be a little crying, or maybe there'd even be like, or maybe I would need to journal a little bit. And then I'd get up off the floor and, you know, sometimes there'd be a real shift, like, whoa, like I actually am learning how to be present in the moment. I'm learning how to process. And sometimes it wouldn't. Sometimes I'd get up and I'd be like, cookies, I need to just eat all the cookies. And, you know, and I would just do it because I started to recognize that this is going to be like, I'm really starting to change from the inside out. And this isn't going to be like a one and done. I'm not going to just like do some technique and be totally healed and totally changed. But when I recognized really that, and this is the things that I teach now, that outer experience is a reflection of inner reality. And so if I really want to change my outer experience, I'm going to have to change my inner reality. I'm going to have to go to the roots, because healthy roots produce healthy fruits. So it's like, you know, how do we start to do that? How do we start to get internal? How do we start to learn how to, you know, feel and deal in order to heal? And after I went through quite a bit of time doing this, you know, I started really coming out the other side and transforming my relationship with food. And I still love fitness. You know, I love all the techniques. I love intermittent fasting. I love, you know, proteins. I love that stuff. I've studied that a ton. I'm not certified or right. You know, not where you are, but I've done a deep dive. I know a lot about that. And I love to add that into my own life and sharing that with others. But I really feel like that's like for what I do, you know, we're all different. We all have different passions and purpose. But for what I do, I love that to be like the second tier. You know, I love that first tier to be the foundation of like really the emotional and the inside out. And then when you put on that second tier, you're going about it in a different way. You can maintain it, you know, because you and I both know that people can lose 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 20 pounds, and that's great. But what I see working with a lot of women and men too, but especially with women in this area, what they don't lose is that mental torment, that obsession around food, you know, just like constant 24/7. And that's what I like to help people get free from.
So, you know, what's so interesting is when I was overweight and I was 40 pounds heavier than I am right now.
Imagine that. This was when you were young, when you were going through the eating disorders.
Teenager. I was just a fuller person. I was never someone anyone would look at and say, she's fat or whatever. Mm-hmm. There was too much of me. And I certainly felt it. I knew what was there. And I was bigger than I should have been. And I felt it. Right. But hold on. I'm going to pause because I lost my train of thought. When am I going? Oh, when I was overweight and doing all the wrong things. I never stopped thinking about food. I never stopped thinking about my body. It was just all consuming and it was miserable thoughts. It was so much negative energy spewing onto myself. I was constantly bogged down with these bad thoughts. And then when I finally figured out how to eat wisely, you know, manage my caloric intake and choose healthier food versus non, and I achieved a weight and a body that I was really happy with, I never, almost never think about my body. So whereas I was constantly focused on my looks back then, now that I'm at a weight I enjoy and I have been for decades, I don't ever think of my hips. My hips never come into my thought process. They're never an impetus to go to the beach because you've got lean hips and strong abs.
I gotta show them off.
I never think about my body.
Isn't that freeing though, Fitz? Like, isn't it so freeing?
That's the part. That's the part is that you take a little bit of effort. And so what I think what you-
But there are women who look like us that aren't free.
Right.
We're both lean and in pretty good physical shape.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So they're never going to be good enough. So I think it's mindful. You know, when we talk about smoking and eating and drinking, it's mindless behavior. Yeah. I'm going to eat and it's, you're not certainly not thinking about your food when you put a donut in your mouth, right? There's not many people are like, this is going to help. So I'm going to choose that. Yeah. So it's instead of being mindless, being mindful, pay attention. Yeah. You wouldn't put ketchup in your car. Don't put greasy fat oil in your body. You know, we're so mindful about things we put in our vehicle.
It's so ingrained in us. And now that we're kind of coming into the holiday season, can I say that? I don't know when Okay. So we're coming into the holiday season, right? Oh my God, this is, everything is intensified. Like it's exciting. It's joyful. It's family. It's family. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah. And so, and it's such a food focus. So one of the things I was talking to my tribe about just yesterday was, you know, first of all, it's Thanksgiving. So I'm a big believer in balance. I'm a big believer in lifestyle. I'm a big believer in eat the things.
Yeah.
Eat those potatoes. It's Thanksgiving. Eat them and enjoy them. Like, don't be on a diet on Thanksgiving.
Well, eat them all. Like they make mashed potatoes throughout the year, right? So you can have that.
Oh my gosh, you and I are so like, that's exactly what I said. I said, look, we have a lack mindset. Yeah. We have, and it's been ingrained in our culture. Like Thanksgiving is the time where you like train yourself to overeat.
Of course.
You like prepare yourself to like make yourself sick. I was like, guys, unless you're in a third world country, like where we live in America or even all over the world, like you can get mashed potatoes anytime you want. I can go right now and get some mashed potatoes. I can get some pumpkin pie anytime I want it.
Right.
You know, so it's that mentality of like, I got to get it while the getting's good. And even the celebration association with sort of like hurting ourselves. Like I'm on vacation. It's a holiday. This is a time to like gorge myself. Instead of realizing like, wait, I can celebrate. I can maybe, you know, do a little more that I wouldn't normally do in my lifestyle. But how can I get celebration equated and aligned with still nurturing and loving myself? Do I have to drink myself sick? Do I have to eat myself sick? And then I ruin my whole vacation and I ruin my whole Thanksgiving because I'm like disgusted. You know what I mean?
So I always think it's interesting when people are like, I'm going on vacation. You know, I may come back 5 pounds heavier and I think, okay, you're going on vacation. Let's say you're going on a cruise and you're going to, A, you're never going to eat your money's worth on the ship. There's no way to do that. You paid $2,000, so you will not eat $2,000 worth of food.
Yeah.
However, hopefully you go on vacation to make memories and have great experiences. And I'm convinced that 7 years after the fact, nobody looks back and says, remember we had that rice? We had all that rice. And then there was the cupcake. Oh, that vacation was so good. No, you're going to remember singing karaoke and jet skiing and doing the limbo contest. It really, the food is not as rewarding and those and long lasting. The benefits are not long lasting.
Agreed. So it's those mindsets. Again, we're coming back to that. It's those emotions, the mindsets. Yes, the body piece is a huge piece, but you know, we've got to get them all going together. So that, you know, that's what's been made the difference for me and really feeling like more healed, more whole, more like who I'm meant to be. Like that's, you know, I want to look great for sure. I want to be fit and all that. But even more than that, it's like, I feel like that's a byproduct of like who am I, like, am I my best version of me? You know, am I like fire? I like to say firing on all cylinders. Yeah. Like, I want to be someone firing on all cylinders. I want to help other people fire on all cylinders. Like, because when you're looking good, feeling good, good on the inside, then you're releasing and you're, you know, creating and not just consuming, whether it's consuming food, consuming social media. It's just a different shift where you're like, you're kind of leaving an imprint, like you're having a ripple effect, whether it's just in your family, which is a huge ripple effect, or whether it's more of a public platform like we have. You know, each person has a ripple effect. Each person has a sphere of influence. So each person has a gifting, like the other people have gifts that we don't have in other areas. And so when we're all like operating at that highest level, it's like we're contributing, you know, and that feels awesome.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And that's my true belief on fitness. I mean, I believed in it. That's how I leaned into the career and chose it as a career. But, you know, after decades with personal experiences and professional experiences and all these, you know, bazillions of people I've worked with, I believe in it more than ever. It's, you know, how do we convince the rest of the world that if they take care of themselves, if they invest in their mind and their body, then their job will be better. Their profession will, you know, become more rewarding, and they'll likely become more successful. They'll be a better spouse, a better parent, a better friend, everything. It's that trickle down. I call it like Reagan trickle down economics. It's trickle down.
I do trickle-economics.
Yeah. Trickle down fitness, because
I love it.
When my people are fit, then their people get fitter and everything's moving a little better. It's, you know,
I love that. Yeah. We're very similar. I mean, we do different angles of things, right. But I'm, you know, I love a how-to. I love to show people just really practical ways, simple ways. Yeah. Because I think some people want that, but it's like, how do I get it? Like, where do I even start? How do I find it? So, you know, that's kind of my passion. Like, let me help you connect those dots. It's like, I sort of consider myself like a human navigation system. Like when you want to get somewhere and you're trying to find a destination, if you don't have a map, you're just like making turns, winding up, right. You're 15 minutes. And I suck without navigation. I'm like, I have no sense of direction. But if you have a navigation system and a human navigation, like a coach, like someone like me and you, who says, you want to get there? Okay, here's how you do it. Turn right again, turn left. Turn right. Yeah. And like you're there. Like you don't have to try to figure it out. I see people get so consumed and of course, like there's so much conflicting information out there. There's so much confusing information out there. So that's why, you know, there's people like me and you who do a deep dive in certain areas. We help navigate. And that's really my heart and my passion. It's like, I'm happy for where I am, but really my life is about helping other people get where they want to be.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. I think the greatest thing I heard from you today is stop, drop, and roll. I want people to think about that before they go to pick up the cigarette or the glass or the cup or whatever awful thing you do to yourself. Just think stop, drop, and roll. You don't actually have to drop and roll, although that would be super funny. And
I kind of do it because I like to get real literal with it. Like I literally for a time, like went on the floor, like spread eagle on the floor, because I was like, I need to like stop myself. I need to get out of the pantry and put the Oreos down.
I support that. So everybody, you can stop and drop and roll and send some videos for me so I can laugh. But yeah, you should be more mindful and more deliberate about your behaviors. And certainly if you're sabotaging yourself, man, cut that out. You wouldn't treat your best friend the way you're treating yourself. So it's important to elevate your priority on your own well-being. Correct. Totally.
Well, can I share something with your watchers, listeners?
Please do.
Okay. So if you want a little bit more of like a how-to and like where would those next steps start? I actually just finished writing this literally about a week ago. It's a free little guide. It's called 3 Reasons You Are Overweight and Struggle with Body Image. And so this is like something you can download. It's easy breezy. And if you want to get that from me, I just popped it up at the URL, freefromstruggle.com.
Freefromstruggle.com.
Freefromstruggle.com. So if you want to start to kind of piece together, like, how do I get in there? How do I feel and deal in order to heal and, you know, start to uncover that, then that would be a good resource to check out. You can come into my world a little bit and I will share a couple nuggets with you.
Okay, so 2 things. Number 1, you are now morally obligated and by law to come and do the OC Marathon Weekend 5K in May. That is
by law? By law?
Yeah, there will be consequences. So
okay, when is it?
It's the first weekend of May and it's our 20th anniversary. And I'm on the microphone And I promise to be very nice to you if you come across the start and finish line. But if not,
I can't guarantee that I'm going to run a full marathon. Because
No, the 5K is fine. If not, I'm going to send all those runners to your house. So
So you're tough love coaching. I like that about you.
That's
tough love coaching. Yes, I'm in for that. What's number two?
Number two is you have to tell me which, I know they're probably a long list, but which is the number one Prince song when it comes on? You break into that routine because you remember it and you can't help yourself.
There are so many. Are you kidding me?
Which is your favorite?
Oh my goodness. I mean, maybe Cream. That was, I cannot even answer that. I mean, from way back when, the Kiss video on MTV, I saw that video, I was like, forget about it. I need to be that girl.
Okay.
Like, you know, so Kiss, 1999. Purple Rain, of course, is just like, he had never liked that because I would always say Purple Rain is my favorite because people would say, what's your favorite song? And he's like, think of something more original. That's everyone's favorite. I was like, I know, but it's the best. So Purple Rain, done.
Okay. And then recently, just perusing the Prince videos on Instagram, because I'm actually a huge Prince fan, and he was doing his split to Stand, his dance where he drops into a split and then sucks his leg up so he's standing. Could you do that with him? Did you do that?
No, I could never do like the James Brown Prince split. Okay. I mean, I had the splits, of course. I was very flexible, but I didn't have those, that level of hipness in the moves.
All right. That's very honest of you. I might have lied and said, yeah, sure, I did that all the time.
Can you still do it? If you're going to say you could do it, I would need to see it.
No, I would tear all the parts. My hands would be dangling like spaghetti noodles, and I would deserve that. I'm doing a Dancing with the Stars fundraiser in March, and
I literally just talked to someone about, I don't know why this just dropped into my mind, but I was like, I would love to do Dancing with the Stars.
So fun.
So wait, what are you doing? You're doing a fundraiser?
Yeah, so it's just one night performance, and it's for a national ballet company called Dance Alive. And so it's a—
Are you a dancer?
I am not a dancer. I actually competed as a full contact kickboxer for 10 years. So
you're fierce.
My feet will go where I tell them to. I have rhythm, but I've never had any formal dance training. But I'm
dancing and ballet are two very different animals.
Yeah. Well, yes. Well, they say the moves are very similar. I mean, my spinning crescent kick probably looked like something a ballerina did, but those days are long gone. Right now I'm just hanging in there, and I've had two rehearsals. They've gone just swimmingly, but yeah, dancing. Oh my gosh.
I need to come watch you perform.
I will send you the information. You'll have to get on a plane, but Florida is a great place to come, as you know.
I love Florida. Yes. I would love to cheer you on. That would be amazing.
Yeah. It'd be a lot of fun. All right, beautiful girl. So you can watch me dance, and then I will cheer for you as you run. And thank you so much for joining us. Robia, what is your website?
My website is my name, robiascott.com.
Okay. R-O-B-I-A scott.com. And we'll see you soon, folks. If you haven't done so yet, follow The Fitness. That's right. Fitness at Instagram and YouTube and Facebook and all the places. If you haven't done so yet, hit like, hit subscribe, leave a nice review, not a mean review, because we don't support that. And Robia, your job is to tell people, say, get to work.
Get to work.
Bye, everybody. Love you.
Hi, this is Rudy Novotny, the voice of America's Marathons. We all love how much running has benefited every aspect of our lives, so much so that most of us only wish we'd started sooner. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give the opportunity to children of today? Well, you can. The Morning Mile is a before-school walking and running program that gives children the chance to start each day in an active way while enjoying fun, music, and friends. That's every child, every day. It's also supported by a wonderful system of rewards, which keeps students highly motivated and frequently congratulated. Created by our favorite fitness expert, Fitz Kohler, Morning Milers across the country have run over 2 million miles and are having greater success with academics, behavior, and sports because of it. The Morning Mile is free to the child, free to the school, and is inexpensively funded by businesses or generous individuals. Help more kids get moving in the morning by visiting morningmile.com. Champion the program at your favorite school or find out more about sponsorship opportunities. That's morningmile.com. Long may you run.